Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Jay King. We got Dave DeFour. We got Wozni Lambre. We got Jade Hoy producing. Coming up on the show, trade deadline fallout, buyout fallout, Andre Drummond sweepstakes, the Nets, the Lakers, Draymond, defender of all time. Let's get into it, guys. The trade deadline is coming gone. We got some buyout guys who have gone through. So I know that I don't have the best reputation in terms of appreciating what like a Nikola Vucevic does. Okay. I've been known to not be a huge understander of the Vooch experience. He's kind of my new LaMarcus Aldridge, who is in the news because he's on the Nets now. So Trey, I want to start with you. Am I wrong for not giving a shit that Vooch is now on the Bulls and thinking that that's a move?
First, before I even say, Jade, insert the Kendrick Perkins clip. No, you're not wrong. Again, you're not a casual either. He's been buried deep in Orlando for so long. But also, you know the Bulls are not going to be competing for finals, right? But in the positive direction, it's a culture reset. They made a move that makes the city of Chicago happy. They made a move that makes Zach LaVine happy. And then, you know, Billy Donovan's just going to have to shape it all together and figure it out. You know, they got guys like Troy Brown out of the acquisition, and then you got Daniel Tice. So they're going to have to figure, you know, they're not going to just go out and just run the table now that they got guys that actually are NBA players. But in a situation, it was, I think they won the trade deadline. If there was ever a thing of great.
So here's, I swear to God, I'm not just trying to be an asshole here, but like
that's the first
start off a point I'm about to make. Yeah. That's the first time I've tried to not be an asshole, but like my two favorite acquisitions of the deadline were Bielitsa with Miami and Gary Trent Jr. with Toronto. Like those are the two where I'm like, I can see that making a difference. I can see that mattering.
I was like, more so leaning else, towards Norm Powell. Norm Powell was really good.
So Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets meant nothing, but you're like Bielitsa.
No, it didn't mean nothing.
It doesn't mean nothing. I don't think it really raises their ceiling.
Oh, I disagree.
I disagree as well.
You're sliding Millsap to the bench. Aaron Gordon's been really good this year. He adds another guy.
When the fuck has he played this year?
He's actually been pretty good.
He's played like 9 minutes.
No, he's been pretty good. Ever since they lost all their guards, he's been starting their offense, like initiating their offense, a lot more stuff off the dribble. And his defense has been good. And it's going to move Millsap
into that
bench that they need help with. I think it's a big-time move for Denver. They needed to do this last year.
I think the Nuggets don't need all that. I think that he needs to buy in on a defensive end and then also just kind of add what he does from there. But it filled the gap that they missed so solely with Jeremy Grant.
All right. Well, Jeremy Grant can shoot.
Aaron Gordon could hit the three from time to time.
I'm not
going to take that from him and dumb him down on offense.
They're going to be the most open threes he shot in his career.
Let me play the role of Jay King here. I'm supposed to get excited that he initiated the 27th ranked offense in the NBA.
Well, you know, he was playing with guys like Nikola Vucevic.
But you have to look at it like this, Zach. He's not coming in to be one or two. He is potentially going to be three or four. So when you add a guy that was like one or two on another team to be potentially a three or four and he's healthy, I'm okay with that. I don't think they got worse. You know, I think that they added to whatever they did, but I don't think they like still shake up the Lakers or the Clippers. You know what I'm saying?
They added a starter for a guy who, I mean, RJ Hampton, I think, is going to have a really good NBA career, but Gary Harris barely plays for them. And now they
right, but now they have a starter. Now they still have exactly one defender.
Oh, yeah. But this team isn't really worrying about defense.
Now they have Aaron
Gordon,
and that's it.
Yeah. But
Aaron Gordon, though, can theoretically, of course, guard these bigger wings, right?
Yeah, he has been.
They don't have. And God again, knows his light-skinned brother doesn't want to do the defense stuff. So it's like, you know, they needed that. Millsap is not what he used to be, obviously. And Dave brings a good point by just like decreasing his minutes load with somebody who's just clearly better is going to, you know, raise their floor. I don't think that this makes them better than the Lakers when healthy, but I don't see why they can't beat the Clippers again.
I think how this piece will be judged is does Nikola Jokic bring out a different level from Aaron Gordon? And I think he might. Jokic makes guys way better. And if Aaron Gordon looks around and thinks, man, if I just cut really hard, I'm going to go get a bucket. And he's got to look around and think Jokic is one, Murray is two, he's three at the very best. And so I think he'll cut out some of the bad shot selection that he used in Orlando when he kind of had to create more for himself. I think this is going to be a better fit than people realize. I think Gordon fills the Grant role. He's going to be guarding Kawhi if they play them in the playoffs.
Right.
That's good a luck. Big deal for Denver. Luck. They needed somebody with that athleticism, with that athletic profile. They just didn't have that. And like Jokic is playing at a level, you had to go out and upgrade your roster and give yourself a chance because he's one of the top five best players in the world. He's a joke right now.
He's not one of the top five best players in the world, but he is having one of the five best seasons. I'm not doubting that they got better. I'm doubting that they raised their ceiling. I think they're still the same max that they were before.
That's possible, right? Because I mean, the Lakers are still just a juggernaut if they're healthy, right?
Like, if healthy,
yeah.
Right.
But with that being said, this is a move saying, well, the Lakers aren't healthy right now, and maybe we've got a shot at this. And so, if the Lakers aren't going to be healthy in the playoffs, all of a sudden, I think you have to feel better about the ceiling of the Nuggets. Nobody's going to beat this Lakers team if they're healthy. I think that's clearly the best team in the West if everybody's good to go. But if either of those guys aren't 100%, all of a sudden you've got a chance.
I still don't think, but man, I don't know that I would take them against Portland.
Really?
Denver?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I'd take them against Portland right now. Like, it might matter who has home court in that series.
On that one, Zach.
You're entitled to your own opinion. I'll take Dame in that matchup.
I think
right?
It's close. Like, I'm with you. I think it's close.
I'm not saying it's not close, but like here, all right. And this is another, and I'm open to the idea that these are me problems here.
Sure.
But I look at this and I'm like, okay, this might be, he has the stank of the Orlando Magic organization on him. But I'm like, what winning basketball has Aaron Gordon ever played?
Fair.
Well, yeah.
Like but, that's but the
I
other
also,
thing.
But I also I think that he actually Denver's, gets a chance.
Sure. Yeah, right. Oh no, for sure. He has a chance to prove that to be, hey, that was on them. That's not on me.
To me, within Denver's ecosystem, he's going to have an opportunity to shine. I think Denver has proven, like, and not a lot of teams can say this, like, they're going to score against playoff defenses, set defenses. They're going to get good looks, right? And we saw even in last year's playoffs, even cats like Dozier had little moments. Mm-hmm. And he's not as good as Aaron Gordon. You know, I just think they're so advanced offensively, and so it's going to create opportunities and space for him to move around and beat people. And granted, because he is going to be the fourth option, right? I don't know that teams were ever keying in on him in Orlando, but I'm just saying, like,
they were.
He's going to have the space to do what he needs to do.
Here's the thing:
I'm not
Who
going off
Jeremy
100
Grant?
Three-point attempts today, like. Like 103 point attempts this year, he's a shooter. The fucking 6 years before that, he's a 31% 3-point shooter.
Who said he's a shooter?
I'd get better, Zach.
Yeah, but also, who was Jeremy Grant before the playoffs last year, right? Like, Aaron Gordon is, I don't think he's got the on the ball stuff that Jeremy Grant has, and he definitely isn't the shooter that he is right now. He might be, though, playing with Jokic and having Michael Porter and Murray out there, where again, he is going to be the fourth guy on the scouting report on the offensive end. He's going to have a chance to just score on the margins, hit spot up wide open, the most open shots of his career. Jay talks about the cutting. I mean, he's a freak athlete. Jokic is an amazing passer. That whole team actually is full of good passers.
You could
passers,
run some fun, 5-4 pick and rolls with Jokic and Gordon, for
offensively,
sure.
Offensively, the fit makes perfect sense, and I don't think anybody's arguing that it doesn't. Now, does it help them enough defensively, knowing that that's a big glaring issue for them? I don't think it's going to, you're not going to trust this team defending in the playoffs anyway. But I do think it is an upgrade on Millsap, and it upgrades the rest of your rotation because it gets Millsap into the role that he should have been in the first place, which is that backup hybrid big, where if you want to play two bigs, you can play him in Jokic, or if you want to play smaller defensively, you can play him in place of Jokic.
Is Aaron Gordon a better defender than Jimmy Grant?
No.
I think he's
no. I don't think so.
No. No.
But he's not as
but he's going to he's but he's going to have to show apart. He's going to have to show effort if he wants to finish games in Denver.
Well, yeah.
Mike Malone straight up. And that was the communication of why they made the move.
Right.
They said, we don't need you to do all other stuff. If you can play defense, then this is the right place for you. And that's why they pulled the trigger. Because they believe that he's going to buy into what they do. So we'll see. He debuts tonight and we'll get a chance, and then I can come back and say, Zach, you were completely right. My bad.
On the other hand, I feel Zach a little bit on this because the Aaron Gordon thing is very much hypothetical. Like, everybody talks about him like he'll do this and do that. We've never really seen it. So this is a test for Aaron Gordon too. Like, what is he? What can he be? If he can't bring it out of himself playing next to Jokic, playing next to Murray, then he's not the guy people have convinced himself that he is.
But also, let's give him some time.
Yeah,
to adjust.
I want
to
see
because,
it. I want to
see think the Bulls got their turn after the playoffs.
The only reason why I say this is because the Bulls got ran last night. And obviously, it was kind of like when they got Vooch, it was like, oh, yeah, this is, we're about to run the table. And it's like, nah, not so fast. So,
I mean, they've paired two all-stars, Trey.
They paired two all-stars, right? And that's how it normally works. You get all-stars on a team, hey, and man, then they just run the table.
Yo, Vooch had a Vooch game last night. He had 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and he got beat by double digits. Like, he's right at home in Chicago. His numbers were good.
I think I want to see what Billy Donovan figures out with them. Defensively, Zach LaVine has never been like exactly Scottie Pippen, and Vooch is Vooch. And so like your two best players are like bad at defense, so that's what confuses me about why there should be any real enthusiasm here, right? Like, I mean, I guess Zach LaVine has shown a little bit this year that he's like, okay.
Yeah. He's shown some growth
in the past.
Well, so that's the thing with the Aaron Gordon to Denver, and does he raise their ceiling? I think all my questions are about Aaron Gordon, right? And he has a chance, like you guys mentioned, he has a chance to prove like, hey, this theoretical Aaron Gordon is actually the tangible Aaron Gordon. Like, this is the guy that exists when he's in an environment that isn't Orlando. With Vooch to the Bulls, I feel like I know what that dude looks like. I don't need the theoretical Vooch. Like, I've seen it, and I've seen this Bulls team, and like, that doesn't seem to raise the bar, but at the same time, if this puts them at an advantageous place in the play-in tournament, then it works, right? Then it's the move that works. I look at that, I'm like, man, you gave up Wendell Carter Jr., who, look, I still believe in, but he might just not be good. Like, I'm open to the idea, right? I think he could be good, but he might just not be good. But you gave up him and 2 first round picks. Like, that's a lot for a dude that I'm not sure makes you better.
Right. And like, I was one of the people that was most critical of Jokic's defense back in the days. Right. But he's gotten to a point where he's fine. He's not good. He's not a plus defender. He's fine. And when you're getting MVP level production on offense, that's amazing. When you're just getting a guy who's like, I guess he's a pick and pop threat, and I don't know the appeal of Vucevic. I just don't get it. You know, I saw people online were pretty excited because I think people want to see the Bulls be relevant and play, you know, quality basketball on a consistent basis.
Right.
You know, they haven't had that for so long, but I just don't get the Vuce thing.
Well, he's a good, not great player, right? He makes the All-Star game in the East, but he probably doesn't in the West, right? Like, I think that the perception of Vuce is maybe different than the reality, but the reality is he's still a pretty good player. He can score, he can space the floor. Is he going to help them on defense? No, not really, but their center rotation wasn't really good anyway. I at least like them taking a shot at actually making the playoffs. I think that's a good thing.
And I just think he makes life easier for Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Zach LaVine has had a great season, has become an all-star, has obviously put in a ton of work on his game. He survives and thrives by doing a lot of very difficult things. He makes difficult shots. He makes difficult plays. I just think Vooch makes it a lot easier for him. Like, he's not a great reader of the game. He's not going to have to be with Vooch. It's going to be like, draw two, hit the all-star big man who's spotted up at three, and let him make a play. And so I think just having that safety valve just will really, really open things up for Zach LaVine too.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think that could be the real benefit from this, is that he starts to kind of round out parts of his game that have been unexplored so far. And then I think with Thad Young, with Vucevic, like, those are two very good passing big men. And I think that if you have two good passing big men surrounded by some scorers and shooters, you have a chance to have a really good offense. And they've only been mediocre offensively. I think this has a chance to really open them up. And so I'm open to the idea that it could be a bigger acquisition than some of you guys might think.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I mean, he's got to stay. It's just to stay ahead of, like, Toronto, Cleveland, and the Wizards, right?
See, I don't know if it's that much for this year. Like, he has 2 years left. And so, yeah, like, it'll help them this year, but there's not much time left in this year. I think moving forward, like, this could be, and it's not going to make them a championship contender, but, like, if you go from 8th, 9th, 10th in the East to 5th, 6th, 7th, then that's at least an upgrade, and you've given yourself a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that of, like, okay, so maybe you can be the Magic moving forward, right, of the last couple of years, which I guess, hey, if you're guaranteed an 8th seed by default most years, that's a step in the right direction from where the Bulls were, right? Like, exactly. I guess technically that's a step forward. I just don't know. Like, to me, I'm like, you gave away two firsts for that? That doesn't seem like the best move to me, but whatever. I mean, it could end up being fine. Like, I thought about it, Zach.
Think about it. We had high hopes on Wendell Carter. I feel like we fleeced him. You know, and got in a situation of, like, the draft history hasn't been that tremendous. You know, like, Laurie didn't pan out to what we wanted Laurie to be. I say we, me as a Bulls fan. but in a situation, if you can get back a Vucevic or, you know, a Troy Brown, and, you know, you got some Otto Porter off the books, they can go make a move in the summer. And ideally, it's not to win a championship. It's just to show, to move, to coach a reset and change what Garpax and them had going and just clean that filth out and move in a proper direction. So if they miss the playoffs, I don't still consider that a failure. I think moving forward should be only up from here.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It should be.
Like if they make the playoffs, great.
If they make the playoffs, then boom, this worked because they need to. They need to start making the playoffs.
Realistically,
and getting some winning
we're talking
action.
About they're shooting for sixth seed in the East. That's what they're gunning for, and that's
attainable.
Relatively attainable.
Yeah,
right
they're like
now.
What, like 4-5 games out of the sixth seed. Like that's not that crazy, especially right. as garbage as the East continues to be.
Yeah,
four games out of the four seed: Knicks, Hornets, and Hawks.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like
Hornets
they can
are,
be
Hornets,
as good
Hornets
as
are
the
gonna drop
Knicks
out.
And the Hornets and the Hawks.
Well,
so you're
again,
saying
if
Bulls,
the Hawks if the
home
Hawks difficulty
home court
gets
advantage.
A
lock.
Lock it in.
Jade. Give me the lock
yeah.
noise.
Is that worth Nikola Vucevic? I mean, I'd say yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for them it is. And again, all of this stuff is relative. I personally was a fan of the Sixers getting George Hill
big
just because he's another guy who can shoot it. Obviously, you know, he's another guy who defends. I don't think they have enough playmaking still, right? Like,
do you
that's
think
what
they
I
really
think
they lost out on an opportunity by failing to get Kyle Lowry.
100%.
I felt like that
was
so
to
obvious.
To me, like, he just makes your team so much better, so much smarter. And you can attack people. So, I feel confident that he'll be able to get Joe the ball in crucial moments, right? Like, this guy is so, like, he has a presence when he has the rock in his hand, and he's going to make smart decisions, right?
I was so mad that Zach was right that Kyle Lowry didn't get moved, because I thought it was, like, 100% shot.
Are you mad he didn't get moved, or are you just mad that Zach was right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants even I don't want to be right on this podcast, okay? Like when the Heat are in the Eastern Conference Finals again, you guys are gonna
hold on,
podcasting.
Hold on. I gotta go back to the Bielitsa take.
Get out of here.
We gotta go back to the Bielitsa take.
Oh, it's a good take. He's a good defender.
Bielitsa's
he shoots
a great,
the ball.
Great.
It's not
great pickup for
look,
them.
He's not Jay Crowder, but like he is a close enough facsimile.
You're right, he can shoot.
Right.
Well, hold on.
But he is a good shooter.
You guys,
and he's a
you guys were all over me for
defender.
Saying Jay Crowder was a big loss, and now Bielitsa is the missing piece. Like
because Jay Crowder can't shoot for one, and Bielitsa can play make. That's
and
the thing.
Jay Crowder was a big loss.
And Kelly Olynyk is the change of Houston. They're undefeated with him.
Look
on
at
the team.
Them. Yeah, they don't know how to lose with Kelly Olynyk. Did you know Kelly Olynyk was in Miami for 4 years? I saw that. I see he said goodbye to Miami. He's like, thank you for the last 4 years. I was like, 4 years? I thought he got there yesterday.
Wasn't he part of that crazy
he was a
2016
part of the
free agency?
After he did that dirty play where he almost broke somebody's arm.
Kevin Love?
He was out of there after that one.
They don't stand for that shit in Boston.
And he just got buried in South Beach, which is cool.
Yeah, he was good for him. Like he was good last year, but he couldn't shoot
so
this year.
So Bielitsa is a bigger pickup than Vucevic, just so we have that on the record.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%.
I love
it. And you can't accuse me of xenophobia because they're both European. Huh? There you go.
That's
got it.
That's how you see.
No, Bielitsa is going to be great for them.
White man co-signing.
Well, Bielitsa was a guy I thought that the Warriors should have been trying to get before the season. I mean, he's a really good player who just kind of gets lost.
He's a good playmaker. He 6'10" playmaker, can shoot. Like,
and really is a good defender. I mean, he would have fit perfectly, I thought, on the Warriors when they lost Clay. I thought that he would have been a guy that they should have gotten. But, you know, these guys go to Sacramento. And Zach, you know this because you kind of pay more attention
I've
to the Kings
from Sacramento
anybody,
as well.
Right?
Yeah.
But guys go to Sacramento and they can play well, but nobody will ever trust it. And I think it's kind of like the Aaron Gordon thing. Aaron Gordon has shown flashes of being a really good player. Now he's going to go get a chance to be in a role that is probably less than his skills. I think he's really going to excel. It's a huge pickup for them. So, I'm with you. I think Bielitsa is a huge, huge pickup for Miami.
Oh, man. Him playmaking, him knocking down 30-footers. His nickname is Professor Big Shots. Like, what are we doing? You can tell me you don't want a professor
that's
of big
killer.
Shots?
How's that?
I mean, no, no, but Fournier still has the best name, dog.
When has he ever hit a big
don't Google
shot.
Me as hard.
Yo, check out. I'd like to, have you ever heard of a little organization called FIBA? Dude is killing in FIBA, okay? That's where he got the Professor Big Shots nickname. He's played for the Wolves and the Kings. He's never had a chance to make a big shot.
Exactly.
I was just wondering if I had missed a lot of Bielitsa game winners. I was just wondering that.
Now he gets the first shot. Now he's finally in the NBA. After all these years, after 5.5 seasons, he's finally in the NBA where he can make a big shot. For the buyout market, Gorgui Jang to the Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge will be weakened at Bernie's in Brooklyn. Drummond to the Lakers. Am I missing one? Was there another one that happened? I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So Drummond to the Lakers is probably the sexiest signing there. I like Gorgui to the Spurs the best in terms of like actually making an impact. But Drummond on the Lakers, Trey, like there is the possibility that LeBron's gonna be like, hey, get your shit together. Like, we need you to play this way. Play this way.
Man, it's absolutely low risk. I'm signing him every time. I don't care what it's like somebody saying, don't be Dave DeFore's friend. And I'm like, well, I haven't got a chance to know the guy. How can I not know the guy yet? Let me learn. Let me experience it for myself.
J.K. has been saying that to everybody. Don't be Dave DeFore's friend. Yeah.
So in this situation, you know, I got a chance to watch Andre early on in his career, and he's matured, but he's also bounced around from team to team, and he was given the keys early. I don't think that he's an option one guy, but I do feel that with the leader and with a minimal role, he is going to succeed. He is capable of getting 10 points and 10 rebounds in one quarter. I've seen it happen multiple times. And he's had ridiculous stat lines throughout this season, about 7 games this season. And the Lakers don't even need that from him. So if he can just be a fraction of that, that puts them sitting pretty. But still, banking off the 2-3 weeks that we had the conversation about LeBron's return, how does LeBron return from this injury? Because, right, again, we look at this person who never gets hurt, this person who never has to deal with the question mark of, oh, how is he going to be when he gets back? He's 36. Yes, AD returns soon. And then now they added Drummond. But the main idea, the main focus is going to be on LeBron. How does he return from the, you know what I mean? Like, again, I think he's going to pump $2 million into his recovery. He might sleep in
the price is going up.
But this is where I really like the Drummond move. I think that when you get LeBron and AD back out there, well, now you've added a layer of insurance defensively. I mean, part of why that defense was so awesome last year was because LeBron.
That's fine.
Well, LeBron and AD were so good at the backline help, but now you've got a real drop center. I mean, Drummond is good in drop coverage.
Dave, and he can blitz. Dre might shoot a three.
And he can blitz.
And Dre might try to be a point guard sometimes.
Well, this is the issue. That's not going to happen in L.A. You're not going to get Drummond shacked in a fool out there and kicking the ball.
Dave, I thought the same thing. And then Kyle Kuzma showed up with blonde hair the other day.
LeBron's out there right now.
I'm pro the move. Zach. I'm pro the move, but I'm being devil's advocate right now.
I don't know who's running it.
Are we sure they're not going to get that kind of Drummond?
Are no, sure? I'm pretty sure. I mean,
which listen, is AKA Anthony Bynum.
He's going to play a lot against bench units. And this guy is, I mean, he's a real player.
Andre Bynum, sorry.
He puts up numbers, but it's not like
Whiteside.
What's
he going to do for the Lakers? Like, ideally, what would he be doing? Like, what have we seen Andre Drummond do in the past that we think the ideal version of whatever he's had in the past would be doing for the Lakers?
Rebound, play defense, catch questions with.
Yeah, with Andre on the Lakers, here are my two questions. Can he get to where JaVale was for them last year?
Absolutely.
Which is a low bar, right?
Of course. Some, for sure. Well,
no,
JaVale
he can,
is a much better
defender.
Well,
can and will he, right? And then the other question is can, he, like, the higher standard is, can he get to where Dwight was for them last year?
Absolutely.
If he can get to where Dwight was for them last year,
yeah, this he's is way more healthy. First of all, he's way more healthier than the two. He's way more playable than the two. He's going to be dunking like crazy. He's going to be rebounding like crazy. I just want to know, I'm curious about the fit as far as the stagger when the guys are off the court, the guys that he's playing next to when he's starting. And then after that, the looseness of playing with the second unit, and you get the like, well, I'm open. Let me take this three. Well, I got 4 fouls and I reach. Now I got 5 and we needed you. Those are the things. His biggest challenge is discipline. It is not about talent. It's not what he can add. It's the discipline part, because when the Lakers need him the most is when, especially if he's never played in big games outside of like college and stuff like that, that is going to be the huge testament of like, Dre, I need you to focus. Yes, you picked Kyrie in this series once or twice, but you have five fouls. He would reach and, you know, and it's like, oh, I just told you don't reach. You know what I mean? So those are the things that's going to be the biggest test. I believe in him. I think that he's going to be able to, we're going to be either talking about how this was the biggest pickup of the season and how it resulted in them tasting champagne in July, or it can be like, he was the same player all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like picking up Drummond on the buyout market, there is very little risk for the Lakers in this.
Yeah, it was low risk.
If he's what he's always been, fine. You don't have to play him. You can play AD at the five. You can stick with Gasol. You can get away with that. You don't have to lean on him. If for whatever reason, after many years in the NBA, he finally decides to focus on what he should actually be good at and catches lobs and blocks shots and rebounds the basketball and does like Dwight Howard did last year, then that could be a big plus for them. And so I know I went on an epic rant against Andre Drummond last week, but he is a guy that like you could convince yourself, you could try to convince yourself there could be something there. And if there is, then he could help the Lakers. And if there's not, then they picked him up for nothing and lost nothing. And they can just stick him at the end of the bench and that's fine.
And so maybe wins for the
Lakers, I like it for the Lakers. And I didn't think any of the other buyout guys like Griffin, like LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, that wouldn't help the Lakers.
I think Drummond probably has the highest ceiling of all those guys.
Agreed.
Yeah. He was made for them. I will say that.
Is there a chance that LaMarcus Aldridge even has a 5-minute stretch in a playoff game?
No.
That helps the Nets?
Yes.
Nah, I don't see it.
I think there is.
What's he going to do besides shoot mid-ranges? Right. Like,
is Kevin Durant going to be playing?
I can see him making three mid-rangers in a big playoff quarter. Why not? But you know he's the guys around him are going to attract so much attention.
And how many open 3-pointers does he give up in that stretch?
That's crazy, y'all trying to T-Mac Spurs, man.
Who's getting minutes still there? Right? I mean, you've got how many centers do you have? You've got Jordan, you've got Claxton, you've got Aldridge, and you've got Griffin,
Blake Griffin.
Yes, yeah. And then so you've got Jeff Kevin Green. Durant when he comes back.
I'd rather have depth. KD's out. He's not playing small ball five anymore. That's out. So he's either going to be one.
Yeah,
they
can't afford that.
You still get Dinwiddie back. You still get the thing is how many people when it comes down to that rotation of 9 players, if that eight tops, who's going to be on the floor and who is going to be happy and unhappy on that bench that think they did because Claxton and Bruce Brown should be in the mix. I'll say that for sure. But
don't forget Uncle Jeff Green.
Yeah, too many guys.
He's playing
now,
for sure.
But too many guys in the front court.
So in this situation, it's going to be a challenge because Blake had a flirtation of 17 points against his old team. Maybe it was, you know, he got up for them.
Yeah, well, he got that lob and then started talking shit to the Pistons bench. I was just like, come on,
I still got it. No, it was great. It's still bad blood over there. And, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, Blake's going to start feeling it a little bit like he should be playing more. And that's going to be the biggest test of Steve Nash's coaching career so far.
Yeah, they're not playing 10 guys in the playoffs.
But I will say this, in the next 2 months, everybody's going to be happy willy-nilly because guys get to actually get rest now. James Harden finally can go sit down. He's been playing 42 minutes, 38 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be the only one available. And then you're looking like, damn, okay, is James going to get one of those rest days? So now you have that to like, because the East is not that great. And then also the farthest they travel, I think, is to Memphis or something like that. So they don't have to go back West. They knocked all those trips out. And then they got a good home stretch and they play, I forgot who it was twice, there are winnable ball games that they don't really need the big three that much. So those guys are going to get their reps. And I think that it'll work in their favor. I don't think they cruise in the East, but I'm waiting on that matchup with Philly.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I didn't think that Aaron Gordon raises the Nugget ceiling, I sure as fuck don't think LaMarcus Aldridge does anything for the Nets in 2021. Like, I just don't think he's playable anymore. Like the Spurs were so much better the last 2 years without Aldridge on the floor. And like they're running like Trey Lyles and Jakob Poeltl. Right? Or sometimes Rudy Gay at the five. Like that's what they were doing. I just don't see Aldridge
It's definitely a different ask though when you,
exactly.
When you're playing around Kyrie and James Harden and when KD comes back. It's, you know, the
just
strain.
Pick and pop, bro. Pick and pop.
Yeah, this guy's just literally all of that one-on-one stuff that he would try to do in San Antonio, like the isolation stuff. I think those are in the past and never coming back.
I would hope so.
I don't think those guys are really chasing stats. They've put in the mentality that they want to win, and that's why they're taking a chance to go play with their buddies. But again, if you're depending, I like that LMA came over because if you were solely banking on Blake to like say anything happens and he goes down.
I guess at least
I know I can kind of say, LaMarcus, can you step in?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah.
I'd rather have depth than like nothing at all because Chris Chioza was getting in.
What we're not going to do is have any Chris Chioza dismissal or slander on this podcast.
No. He's an NBA player, but I'm saying covering those games where it's just James Harden and the rest of the net sometimes isn't like they're the Rockets, bro. Early on in the year, if you look at it like that, when the guys aren't playing, when you implement everything, Jeff Green has been great. He'll step up and he'll have like 15 or he'll have a crazy dunk that gets everybody. Claxton has been good. But then, even being 80% of their team with Griffin and Aldridge will be more watchable than the guys that are buried deep that's actually getting a rotation, you know?
They still have
one more spot, by the way.
Yeah, so what happened to Drummond then as a possibility? Because that feels like real quick.
So here's the thing. Drummond always wanted to be a centerpiece. He didn't want to be a fourth option. He would have been a fourth option in this situation. So
he's going to be in LA.
Even just knowing that makes me question Drummond.
Here's the thing though. For Drummond in LA, he always wanted to play with LeBron. And then if anybody that he was going to feel quote unquote take a backseat with is AD. That's it. But Charlotte was in the mix and Boston was in the mix. Shouts to Jay King. Because Boston would have been able to throw some money to him and make him kind of not a focus, but you know, give him a little attention that he needed, and New York would have been able to give him some attention that he needed. But LA, he's been wanting to play with LeBron since he was in college, so it's not it's a dream for him, and it was a no-brainer.
And the thing is, the Lakers have gotten buy-in from their, you know, they're bench guys. They're like ancillary guys, right? Like Kuzma has turned himself into an energy player, a high effort sort of intangibles guy, and, you know, 3-and-D when needed type of stuff. Like, you know, he averaged, everybody always says, before LeBron got there, he averaged 20 points a game and blah, blah, blah. And we get it. You did. But, you know, on this team, that's not your role anymore. And they've gotten buy-in from all of these guys. So
for sure,
I think Drummond is going to get with the program, man. And again, like the J.R. Smith rule always applies. Like if J.R. Smith was able to get in line in Cleveland and figure out how to be a winning type of player in 2016, I think Drummond can do something similar.
I think he was always a winning player. The league just had to adjust to JR. Always a winning player. All right, before we wrap this up, Draymond Green had some comments about being the greatest defender of all time, which I don't think anybody agrees with here, but I am interested in the conversation that it sparked in terms of, like, he's had comments before about Rudy Gobert. Obviously, Ben Simmons has had comments about Rudy Gobert. And the idea of, like, what do you value more, right? Do you value the anchor piece or the versatile defender? Or I guess in Draymond's case, it's both, right?
To me, it's Draymond. Like,
all
his
time?
Ability... No, the greatest defender of all time is,
well, that's what we're talking
Bill
about right
Russell.
Now.
But in modern time, it's probably KG. And I think Timmy is right behind him. Mm-hmm. But I think Draymond is much closer to being right than he is being wrong. I'll say that.
I'm like, pushing back.
At his best?
I think at his peak, he's one of the best of all time.
I'm pushing back and saying Rodman in Detroit.
How good he was on defense. How good he is or can be. Just his instincts, people don't realize how long Draymond is. So, like, he can play big. And then, again, he's guarding your LeBrons when you have to. He was guarding Westbrook in 2016 when they needed him to. He was meeting guys at the rim, protecting the paint. Like, to be that versatile, to me, is more valuable than what Rudy does being anchored at the rim, because it's just Draymond could blow up so much stuff, dude. It's just, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Draymond
Waz,
Green.
Pass me the ball, please.
Go ahead.
100%.
All right, listen, this is strictly an opinion from him. I do not believe that is a fact. I do respect that he is one of the top 20 defensive players of all time, but that's bullshit, straight up. You know what I mean? It's too many people that did this on a high level. And it's disrespectful to make that comment. I do understand.
Why do you say that?
Because, I mean, like I said, he's good. Damn good. But when you think about it, you said, oh, for this axe, like, hey, Draymond, can you go guard Russ or this and that? Dennis Rodman for the Pistons would guard point guard. No question asked. Every position. When you look at in Draymond's situation, he can't guard KD, bro. Like, there's limitations to that. Certain players don't have limitations. And then the whole thing about coming at TA, Kobe himself talked about TA. The rules change now. You can't touch certain players.
Yeah, also, like, his shitting on TA had only anything to do with TA's offense. It had nothing to do with his defense.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But no, you know, people jumped on it on some crazy
shit.
Sure. Like,
yeah.
As far as, like, ooh, and it's like, that's not what he makes his bread and butter for, bro.
Yeah.
Like, all of y'all are damn good lockdown defenders. If we want to really... And then think about the defensive GOAT. It's so hard to determine one because everybody does something differently good. You got a help side guy that was excellent. Iverson, 3 steals a game, damn near. You know what I mean? Like, in situations, you got guys like GP, point guard, to only win the award. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron's damn good at it. You know what I mean? Like, certain people, Chris Paul's a damn good defender and guards mm-hmm. every position and doesn't get the love that he deserves. So in certain situations, I understand his opinion, but it's not a fact. Because you got Pippen, you got, shit, I can't.
I mean, I'm with Waz. Like, to me, the modern day, it's KG. Because KG did everything.
No, I'm fine with KG, but Draymond, cut it out. Cut it out, because it's just disrespectful to the art. Like I said, I want him to feel that about himself. I'd rather him say, I personally feel this about myself.
Yeah.
Versus, yo, this is a fact. You know what I'm saying?
Because when we talk about greatest of all time and we think about it, it's always Jordan, Kobe, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell. But then we go rings, but then we never break down the depth of it. So it's kind of hard to determine one person. If I wanted to say in the past 10 years, maybe I can give Draymond that.
Yeah, past 10 years for sure, I think it's Draymond.
So he should change that up and say, I'm the greatest defender of this era.
That's a real conversation
versus saying of all time.
I think he also has an argument if he's the best defender of this era, and it's never been harder to defend than it is in this era. Then
also J. King, it's the
I don't think Draymond would have been able to guard Hayward Bookman.
In honor of the Shaq Dudley dunk,
Gary
he would have been in a trash can, big dog.
We can't do this thing because if Draymond had been playing in the 60s, they would have shot him. They would have been like, we have an alien here. Who clearly doesn't do things like human beings, and they just don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. I just don't see him doing anything with year two, year three Shaq. Them quick hands ain't going to work. Sorry.
Draymond never had to be in the trenches against Marcus Fizer, okay?
Shout out to Marcus Fizer, man. He was just chilling on the couch and caught a stray bullet.
No, man, that's praise for Marcus Fizer. That guy was a beast. And
where Draymond, where he's rightest is he can do anything a defender needs to do. Yes, I think Waz was 100% accurate when he talked about how much he just blows up. Like he rotates 3-4 times, stops a guy at the rim, guards a guy in the perimeter. There are no holes to his defense, intelligence, everything. And so that's what separates him from a lot of the other best defenders.
Yeah.
His awareness. Well, and that's
like,
that.
And that's like where Gobert's
is better at defending the rim. Kawhi is better if you needed one guy on one possession. Tony Allen was better if you needed to hound a scorer on the perimeter all game. But when you combined all of it, it's Draymond. And that's part of the reason why the Warriors became a dynasty.
That's where I would throw KG into the mix because here's the thing: the KG that everyone saw in Boston was about half as good defensively as he was in Minnesota.
KG was a joke.
Flip was breaking rules by essentially playing a zone. KG's at the top guarding point guards and then defending every shot at the rim. Like KG was a monster in that way. It would have been interesting to see like Hakeem in the modern day, right? Because he could have blown up all that shit too.
Oh yeah, he would have just been a monster and shooting threes and all the stuff that he was already able to do off the dribble.
These answers change all the time, bro.
Exactly,
it's going to change, bro. Yeah. Like, there's no fact to this; it's just debatable.
Also, we got to throw Ron Artest in the mix.
That's what I'm saying, dog. Yeah. Like, it goes.
But all this to say I agree with Draymond that he's the greatest of all time.
That's fair. That's fair, dude.
Bill Russell was the greatest of all time. That dude, he led the top-rated defense for like 10 or 11 straight years.
Yeah, it's Draymond is also like, he's like the Steph Curry of defense too, because think about how defense has evolved because of what Draymond was able to do.
That's shit KG did.
Draymond is going to get the credit for me.
But we're putting more ample on his height, bro.
He helped change the definition of tweener. Like when he came into the league, being a tweener was a bad thing. Like it was a bad thing. And then Draymond started playing up, playing center, versatility. Like
they so just here's, won here's a my ring, question, bro.
Would you want a dude who could do all that stuff at 6'6", or would you want a dude who could do all that stuff at 7'1"?
Absolutely. No, I'm with you on that. I don't think he's the best defender of all time, but this era. Yeah.
Oh, this era, I think. Yeah, this era. But J. King, are
we having that conversation if he's taller?
Nah, because they wouldn't have labeled him a tweener.
Well, I'm just talking about in general, bro. I think Ben Simmons talks about that way. Yeah, they do talk about Ben Simmons that way.
Yeah.
And Ben Simmons does feel the same way. He does think he's one up there, too.
Yeah.
And I think that he should get more credit than what he gets on the defensive end.
Well, we're about to have two months. Trey, we're about to have 2 months of Jazz fans getting mad because all the numbers say Rudy Gobert, and then other people say, nah, it's Ben Simmons. He's versatile. We're about to have 2 months of that shit right? Like coming up right now.
No, for but we've literally given credit to all the good defenders in this debate, and you guys are still going back to Draymond. I'm the only person probably pushing back on this, and that's fine. I'll die on that hill.
I'm only willing to say Draymond for the last 10 years. Like,
I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
I would live with that because of what type of team he was a part of and for how long he did it consistently. In the past 10 years, six of those 10 years, he has been elite.
No love for Bobby Jones? That was the Sixers dude, right? Mm-hmm. Bobby Jones?
Yeah, I mean, some people say that he's probably the greatest, you know what I mean?
Sam Jones. I thought Sam Jones was the crazy defender.
No, Bobby Jones.
What was it,
Bobby
Casey Jones?
No, it's a white.
White Bobby Jones.
White Bobby Jones.
Oh, my fault.
There was a white Bobby Jones. Was.
George Mikan.
Get the fuck out. All right, that's it. That's how you end a podcast.
Steve Wojciechowski.
47. Slapping the... Yeah, shame it's not value. Defense if you're not slapping the floor that's in a Duke right. uniform, all right? That's what real defense is. Make sure you subscribe to all the shows on The Athletic. No Dunks, The Athletic NBA Show. We obviously had Basket Buds today, Tampering tomorrow, Hoops Adjacent on Wednesday, Point of Contention on Thursday, Nerdist She Wrote on Friday. And, what's the name of the new Saturday
NBA
show?
NBA Slam Jam.
Slam Jam, yeah, Slam Jam right there. We've got No Dunks and we've got Slam Jam, two very conflicting ideas. Make sure you're checking all those out. Subscribe to The Athletic. You get a great deal right now for the best sports coverage on the internet. For Trey, for Waz, for Dave, for Jay, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.